Praise God. I love him. Hallelujah. He's so good and so faithful. Praise the Lord. Well, are you excited about the word tonight?
Amen.
Amen. You know, you don't have to listen to your body. You don't have to listen to your mind. What do I mean? Well, your mind and your body might not be excited about this, but your spirit man is, the real you. And you got to learn to live out of that spirit man. What's that look like? Well, sometimes it's not pretty. Sometimes it's not easy. Sometimes it's not just like a bed of roses, you know. It's telling your flesh, hey, shut the heck up. Hey, mind, be quiet. This is good for me. Praise God. So just get hungry right now. Even if you're tired, even if you don't feel like doing this, I'll tell you what, your spirit man wants to be here, and God knows you need it as well. So let's pray. Father, thank you for our help tonight. Lord, we're hungry for the Word of God. We don't care what our body says. We don't care what our mind says. Who gives a flutie-tootie? Who gives a rip what they say? We only care about what's right. And we're about to be fed. We're about to be blessed. We're about to increase. So Lord, help us. Help us to say what needs to be said, do what needs to be done. And Father, I thank you. I'll open my mouth and you're going to fill it with words from heaven. Nobody's here to see the Mike Anderson show. This is the Jesus show tonight. So we're thankful for what you're going to do, how you're going to show up, and how you're going to bless us tonight. Thank you for hitting bullseyes in the people's hearts. And Father, the increase that we will receive from this series, we give you the glory and you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, this is the God of Provision Part 2. So thrilled and excited about this series. If you haven't heard Part 1 yet, you need to go back and listen to Part 1 as well. And, you know, don't leave now. Just stick here. We'll review for you. But go back and listen to that. Even if you heard Part 1, these are things we need to get in our heart. God wants to do something for us. God wants to help us going forward. Go with me to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19. The Bible here says that my God shall supply all your need. Now it's very important, the next line in this verse, because if he says he'll supply all your needs according to your job, some of us might be in trouble right now. If he says I'll supply all of your need based on the stock market or the economy or how your business is doing or what your bank account looks like, we might be in trouble now or in the future, but thank God he says, I'll supply your need. I'll have provision for you, something that has nothing to do with this natural realm. Amen. He says, it's not according to your paycheck. Thank God. It's not according to your savings account. It's not according to how your business did this month or last month. It's not according to the stock market or your investments. He says, I have a supply for you that's available to you based on my riches in glory, he says. Praise God. And that's exciting because if the coronavirus has taught us some things, one thing that Christians ought to wake up and see is that there can come something just like that, a test in the world that can come just like that and can completely change the landscape. People going about with their jobs, getting a steady paycheck, business is flourishing and thriving, everything seems to be going hunky-dory, and then bam, a coronavirus pops up, and then some people are left without that supply, without that stream, without that normalcy of what they get. You know, when Jesus said, be of good cheer, I've overcome the world, he didn't say, be of good cheer, I've overcome the world, and you can be of good cheer because you'll never have a test. He was saying, be of good cheer. If you do things my way, it doesn't matter what the world throws at you. And if you'll get out of the mentality or get your faith, because we know all of this is received by faith, if we'll get our faith off of our things, and so many people have learned their faith has been in their paycheck. Their faith has been in their bank account, their rainy day fund. And even if you have not been financially affected, what would you have done if you would have been? What if your business was shut down? What if your job went out the window? What about in the future when things can happen? It can happen like that. There's uncertainty in the world, but there's complete certainty in the Word. See, if we can get our faith in the God of provision, who's not moved or changed by this natural realm, then it won't matter what happens in the natural realm, because God stays prosperous and a supplier all the time. He doesn't ebb and flow with the economy. He doesn't ebb and flow with the stock market, praise God. Now, He may use your job. He may use your business. He may use something natural as a tool to provide for you. And we've seen that in the Bible, that God used ravens. God used a natural brook. God uses things in the Bible. He'll use those things. But we've also seen in the Word that natural things can dry up. That natural supply and natural provision can change, and we better not have our faith in those things. Because if we have our faith in something that has nothing to give, guess what we're going to receive? Nothing. But if we have our faith in the one that is the full supplier all the time, then no matter what happens in the natural, praise God. We saw that with Elijah. Even in that offering scripture, you know, when the Bible said in 1 Kings 17, 8, arise and go to Zarephath, he was told that word out in the wilderness near the brook Cherith. He's running from his life from an evil king who wants to kill him. Elijah obeyed God. It didn't please the king. So the king's blaming Elijah and going out to get him, you know. And God told him, get away from all the stores. Away from your regular job, away from your Walmart, away from your paycheck, away from your bank, away from your ATM machine, and go out to the wilderness, and there's a brook there, and I'll send you food by the ravens. Thank God Elijah didn't have his faith in his Walmart. Thank God Elijah didn't have his faith in the shelves of toilet paper or the shelves of water or the shelves of Lysol or whatever, or in his business or in his paycheck. He said, okay, Lord, if that's what you say, I know there's no Walmart down there. I know there's no ATM machine down there. But if that's where you tell me to go, my faith is in you. And the people that have their faith in God during this time, your natural situation may change. But when your faith's in God, you won't give a rip. Amen. Because you already know that paycheck, that business was just a tool. And God's got many tools in His tool belt. Amen. He doesn't put His tool belt on it. It just says your job. And when your job goes kaput, the building process stops. Now He just pulls out another tool. Amen. Glory to God. Praise God. And we saw in the Bible that Abraham discovered something about the Father in Genesis 22. He discovered that He is Jehovah, the Lord God, Jireh in the Hebrew, which means the Lord will provide. We saw that it is in God's nature to be a provider. Just this week, I came up over a hill. Down in Pennsylvania, I go out on the national forest roads, you know. I like to get behind the ones that are gated where people can't drive. And I get on my bike and I ride, you know, ride for miles and miles, but where people won't walk, and get out there in the middle of the forest by myself hunting turkeys, you know. And I came up over a little hill and I had an inkling. I probably should call before I come up over this hill and crest this hill. And then my mind said, nah, there's not going to be a turkey there. And sure enough, I crested the hill, and there, you know, those little turkeys, because they, all you see is their little legs and their feathers. When they run away, they look like little dinosaurs. They look like little dinosaurs running away. And all of a sudden, I saw a little dinosaur running away. And I thought, my goodness, as soon as he saw something different, he took off. And my thought was, why do they got to be like that? But the thing is, they're never going to change. That's their nature. Your Father is a provider. He can't stop providing. He can't stop being who He is. It's in His nature. And so we need to, ladies and gentlemen, Christians, get our eyes off the natural and get our eyes on Him, so when the world gives us a mess and trouble, it won't bother us. Because we have to, in tests and trials, keep our faith going. How many times did the Lord say to somebody, according to your faith, be it done unto you? Yeah. If your faith wasn't there, it wouldn't have been done unto you.
That's right. Yeah.
James 1 and verse 5 says, ask in faith, nothing wavering. He that doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. Let not that man, woman included, think they'll receive anything from God. Well, if we have our faith in something that can change by a virus, that can sweep in and change everything, we're in trouble. Your paycheck is subject to change. Your job is subject to change. The economy is subject to change. The stock market is subject to change. But Jehovah Jireh is not. And He said, Philippians 4:19, I'll meet your needs according to my riches and glory. But we know, because we're edumacated Christians, we know that these things in the Bible don't just come to pass automatically. We have to believe in Philippians 4:19. So what are we doing? We're shining a spotlight on the God of provision. Why? We want to get your faith in Him. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, tonight we're going to go to Matthew 6 and verse 25. That was a pretty good review, I think. Praise God. I mean, I'm stirred up right now. Matthew 6 and verse 25. And let me tell you something. During these online church times, don't lose heart. Don't start fading away and just, well, if I catch it, I catch it. If I don't, I don't. If I see it. No, no, no. This is vital information. This is a vital time of things being put into you. And you have an opportunity to either be a faithless doubter and unbeliever, or to be a child of God full of faith and honor for Him. And even when times are tough and not convenient, still gathering in your house. Still sitting there making your children listen. Still putting God first, paying attention and not doing the dishes and not mowing the lawn and having me in your ear on a earbud or something like that. You have an opportunity to show Him who you really are. That's right. And His stuff. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Matthew 6 and verse 25. We're going to read down through verse 34. This is where the Holy Ghost has us going tonight in this series. I don't know how long it'll be, but I'll tell you this. By the time we're done, we're going to know that God's a provider. We're going to have our faith in His provision. Matthew 6 and verse 25 says, Jesus speaking, He says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life. Now before I read on, that can be a little blind to us. That could be a little confusing, that terminology, take no thought. If you look that up in a more modern translation or even in the Amplified, it says, therefore, don't be perpetually uneasy or anxious or worried about your life. And so when Jesus says, I say unto you, take no thought, He's saying, stop worrying. Don't be anxious. Don't be fretful. Don't be fearful about your life. And then He gets into details. He says, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, yet for your body, what you shall put on. What is that talking about? The provisions we need. Supplies we need, praise God. He says, is not life more than meat and the body more than raiment or clothing? He says, behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought or by worrying or being uneasy can add one cubit to his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment or clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They don't toil, they don't spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow cast into the oven, shall He not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, take no thought. What's that mean? Don't be worried. Don't be uneasy. Don't be anxious. Saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things did the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Take therefore no thought, or don't be worried for tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. So, let's take a look at this, but first what I want to say to you is this portion of Scripture is not there just to take up space. It's not there just to waste time in the morning to get your Bible reading out of the way. This portion of Scripture, meditated on and spent time in there and reciting that and going over it, will bring comfort and faith to you. This portion of Scripture, see, a lot of times people find the Bible boring because you haven't made it personal.
That's right.
Nothing boring about this. Yeah. This is a word from my Heavenly Father directly to me. Yeah. It's a gift from Him on a silver platter that's opportunity. Hey, Mike. Hey, Mike down there. You want change? You want to be better? You want to grow? You want to increase? Here's how it's going to happen. My gift to you. I'm not going to leave you the way you are. I'm not going to leave you struggling. I'm not going to leave you wandering. I'm not going to leave you confused. I'm going to give you my own thoughts, my own plans. I'm going to give you a heaven GPS right here to get you where you need to go. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, I love this portion of Scripture. You know, I think about him as a father, and I think about me as a dad. And we know that the Bible says God's a better parent than we are. I think that's pretty exciting that he loves me more than I love my own children, and I know how much I love my children. You know how much you love your children. God's got you beat. Praise God. I'll take it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And you know what's so cool about this is when, you know, our children go through things, or maybe, you know, when they struggle, or maybe they're fearful of something, or maybe they can get anxious. You know, my children have at times have come to me about different things and have asked me things that are concerning them, things that maybe they heard somewhere and it's gotten their little brains, you know, and they get nervous. How do I take those fears away? What do? I soothe them by Daddy's words. Daddy's words come unto them with the help and the comfort needed, praise God, to soothe and take their anxiety away. There's no doubt many people are fearful. There's no doubt many people are anxious. You have not made maybe as much money during this time. Your business has struggled. The bills seem to be piling up. It seems like in the natural you're going under and not going over. It can seem that way. And that can bring about thoughts of what? Anxiousness. Thoughts of worry. You know what your dad's doing tonight with this message? He's taking you in his arms. Just like I've taken Caleb and Abby Myers before, and I've comforted those fears. I've put to rest those fears with soothing words from their daddy. And when they hear their daddy speak, they say, there's no reason to be afraid anymore. If dad's not afraid, if dad tells me it's going to be okay, it's going to be okay. And the father here is giving this to you. He doesn't want you to be worried. He doesn't want you to be fearful. He doesn't want you to struggle. What a gift from heaven above. Hallelujah. So let's unpack this here today and look at some things. Hallelujah. Number one, are you ready?
Yes.
For provision to flow, are you ready for this now? Worry must go. For provision to flow, worry must go. What's the first thing? The first thing that Jesus says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought. Remember what the Amplified said? Stop being perpetually uneasy and anxious and worried about your life. What's Jesus telling you right off the bat? Don't go through the stop sign of worry. Many Christians go through the stop sign of worry, and Jesus says, stop worrying. Stop being afraid. Hallelujah. Stop it. You know, naturally, the Bible always uses natural examples to illustrate spiritual truths. If you were to go out and drive around tomorrow and put this to the test, I strongly encourage you not to do this. But every stop sign that you come upon, if you were just to disregard that stop sign and go through that stop sign, you might get through a couple times. Eventually, though, it's going to catch up with you. Eventually, you're going to get hit. Eventually, things are going to go south. Well, we know with worry, worry cancels out faith. Worry takes faith out of the equation. Why? Because when you're worried, you leave no room for God to help you. God flows in on the wings or on the path of faith. If you go with me to 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 6, I want to show you something here. Why worry is so dangerous. And so when it comes to provision, we must deal with our worry. But thankfully, the rest of these verses is just that. Jesus didn't just say, stop worrying, and then he went on to something else. He said, stop worrying, and now I'm going to show you how to stop worrying. Praise God. But it's important that you recognize that the worry and the anxiousness and the fear that you're feeling, maybe it's not financial, but anything, it's not acceptable. It's not okay. It's handcuffing and hindering God from moving. Yes. You must deal with it, praise God. Where did I say to go? 1 Peter chapter 5. Hallelujah. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 6, look what it says here. It says, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. For God to exalt you, that's God working in you. That's God being able to have free course in your life, right? What's exalting look like? Well, if we're talking about provision, it can be from lack to a supply. It can be from poverty to prosperity. It can be from no income to income. We need God to exalt us. Well, the Bible tells us how. It says to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. Well, I'm so thankful he didn't leave us to guess of how we get him to work in our life. Because there'd be a lot of ways we could think to say, well, I think this would be humbling myself. I'm so glad he didn't leave it for us to figure out. I mean, I'm telling you, I am glad I don't have to guess. Praise God. Notice at the end of that, what are those two dots there? Is that a colon or a semicolon? What is that? I don't know. I know all you smart ones out there are yelling at me and saying, Pastor Mike, we've been over this before. You ask this every time we get there. I know. You're dealing with me. Just put up with me, deal with me. I got to deal with some of your stuff. You got to deal with some of my stuff. Be sweet to me and be kind to me. I don't have a bunch of titles after my name. I cheated my way through school. I don't know what the two dots are, is what I'm trying to say. I know there's something to do with a colon there. Glory to God. Be nice to me, would you? But anyways, it means we're not done. I do know that. It means the thought's not finished. He says, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time. But he didn't finish there. He's going to tell you in the next verse how you can humble yourselves under God's hand for exaltation to come in your life. How you do that? He says, casting all your care, all your worry, all your anxiety, all your fear, all your uneasiness upon him, for he cares for you. When you take the care and you think about the care and you run it over in your mind a million times and you lay there at night wringing your hands and you're pacing the floor and you're staying up all night and you're on the phone with people and you're carrying that care, you have taken yourself out from underneath the mighty hand of God, and he can't exalt you in that place. So worry cannot be allowed. So we need to look at what Jesus said to us after he told us not to worry, because what he's going to follow it up with is the recipe to not worry about these things. Because some of you are saying, my paycheck doesn't look the same. My bank account's going down. My bills are stacking up. And it's starting to bring that worry and that fear. You got to resist that. Don't go through that stop sign. But receive what God is telling you tonight through the words of Jesus. And again, what did I say? Meditate on these things. Put them in your life. They'll bring great comfort and faith. Listen, this is so true. It's a true statement. And people need to get this straight in their life. Worry is just meditation in the wrong direction.
That's good. Help us.
Doesn't the Bible say in Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night? So the Bible tells you what you should be meditating on, what you should be thinking on, what you should be muttering. That's another word for meditation. What you should be talking about. The Word. Yeah. All worry is that same effort in the wrong direction. When you worry and think about it, now think about it, this is going to really help you. When you lay there and think about it, and you have phone calls and talk about it, and you pace the floor and lay up all night thinking about it, all that is energy in the wrong direction. It's meditation in the wrong direction. From the time you start worrying to the time you stop worrying, there's a space and time there. You might as well fill that with meditation in the right direction, which is what? Meditating on the Word. Because when you're worrying, you're not thinking about God's Word. You're not meditating on God's Word. When you find yourself worrying, all you're doing is meditating wrongly. And you need to just think, well, if I'm going to waste my time thinking about how much money I don't have and how my job's changed, instead of doing that, I might as well fill it with what God has said. Praise God. Thank you, Pastor Mike. You are wonderful. You are so helpful. We just love you so much. You are welcome. It is my pleasure to help you. Praise God. Hallelujah. All right, so and here's the problem with that. Go back to Matthew chapter 6. Look at the danger of worry. Matthew chapter 6. See, worry is meditation in the wrong direction. What happens when you meditate on the Word day and the night? Bible says faith cometh when you hear the Word. Faith rises up. But remember what the Word of God says about that which is in your heart? Faith comes from the heart. Out of the abundance of the heart where faith is formed and grows, the mouth speaks. Well, what do we know about the mouth speaking? Mark 11:23 tells us, we'll have what we say. Proverbs tells us, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Matthew 12:37 says, by your words you'll be justified. By your words you'll be condemned. James chapter 3 tells us that our words control our whole life. They can turn our lives, they can change our lives. We got to make sure the right things are coming out of our mouths. But what's coming out of our mouths doesn't start in the mouth. It started in the heart. And the abundance of the heart, the spiritual laws, the mouth will speak. But look at what happens, the danger of it. In verse 31, it says in Matthew 6, verse 31, therefore take no thought. Remember that take no thought means stop being perpetually uneasy, anxious, worried about your life. It says when you worry, when you take no thought, look what the next thing after you worry happens. Comma, saying. Thoughts turn into words. When you meditate and listen to the words, what are the words here? What shall we eat? What shall we drink? Where are we going to be clothed? Basically, what are those words? How are we going to make it? What are we going to do? That is not faith language. We might not know exactly how the Red Sea is going to be parted or how the blessing is going to come in, but we know God is going to do it. Praise God. But when the Bible says in verse 31, when you continue to take thought and worry, it turns into faith of the wrong kind, which becomes the abundance of your heart is filled with what? Worry. And then you start speaking, what am I going to do? I can't pay my bills. And you'll have what you say. Woo-hoo-hoo, man, I'll tell you what, point one, we could just stop right there and say, we were helped. But we're going on to point two. Here we go. Number two. Number one, for provision of flow, worry must go. Number two, you need to know your position. Knowing your position will help you with the worry. What am I talking about? Well, let's take a look at the scriptures here. Look at what it says in verse 26. Look at the birds of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor they gather into barns. Now listen, I'm going to read some things. I'm going to emphasize things that talk about your position. Nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much better than a bird? That's what it says. Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit to a stature? And why take ye thought for clothing? Consider, now he's telling you to consider the lilies of the field. How they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into heaven, shall he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Now, what does it say down in verse 32? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father. Well, what are you talking about, Pastor Mike? Well, in verse 26, it says, your heavenly Father. Verse 30, it talks about God doing this. Who's God? Your Heavenly Father. Verse 32, it talks about your Heavenly Father knoweth you have need of these things. What am I talking about? Your position, number one, you are a child of God. You know, the only children that aren't provided for by their dads, those fathers that don't provide are considered deadbeats.
Yeah, yeah.
Come on, stir it up.
Considered deadbeat dads. Why in the world are we ever fretful, ever concerned, when the Bible tells us in Philippians 4:18, but Jesus is stressing it here, he's saying to you, are you better than a bird? Let me ask you, do you think you're better than a bird? Jesus didn't die for the birds.
That's right.
Are you better than the lilies of the field? If you don't think you are, you need some serious help.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that meanly. You need to get and meditate who you are.
Sure.
I think you're better than a lily.
Yeah.
Jesus didn't die for the lilies.
That's right.
You're a child of God. And what does he say? He says, he took care of the birds.
Right.
He, your Father, takes care of the lilies. How on earth can you ever be nervous and worried? Do you consider your Father a potential deadbeat dad? See, many people have not made this relational.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
I know I'm his child. He's obligated to me.
Yeah.
Now, there's a manward side that I have to partake of faith and believe in him. But I know he always wants to, and I know he always can.
Yes. Amen.
It's so wonderful, you know, that I just love the fact that my children, when we're in the grocery store, I'm about to tell you what, Abby, why does it always come back to Abby? She must think that her daddy's last name is not A-N-D-E-R-S-O-N, but that it's T-R-U-M-P or G-A-T-E-S. She must think daddy's President Trump or Bill Gates with the list of stuff that she wants. But when she does this, she never thinks of lack.
Yeah, that's so good.
She looks at dad as a supply.
Yes.
She look Caleb same way. They look at us, they're never worried about things. They never trip up about things. Why? They're so convinced. And I am just a human being. He is God. Yet we somehow, in the confusion and in the wrongness of our thoughts, get into a place when we have a dad like him and wonder, how are we going to do this? What's going to happen? Do you see how backwards that is? If my kids don't do it with me, why is his kids doing it with him? So many people have failed to recognize who they are. You're a child of God. You know who God is? He's love.
Yes, amen.
You're a child of provision.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
You're a child of love and kindness and mercy. That's the attributes of God.
Wow.
I provide for my children. Why? I love them.
Amen.
I care for them. They don't ever worry about where they're... if the bills are going to get paid, if their meal, if the Christmas list. They don't worry about that stuff. They're sold out that I'm the God, dad of provision and our God. We get into worry and he's up there saying, you're acting like I'm a deadbeat. You're acting like I don't care. Yeah. You need to know who you are. You're a child of God, praise the Lord. Aren't you glad you're watching church tonight? Praise God. Number one, for provision to flow, where you must go. Number two, you need to know about your position. I'm a child of God. Praise God. And he's not a deadbeat dad.
Amen.
Number three, are you ready?
Amen.
Behold and consider. you're taking notes, write that. Behold and consider. What are we trying to do? Help you with your worry, shining a light on your God who's a providing God, the God of provision. Behold and consider. What do you mean, Pastor Mike? Well, remember what Jesus said in verse 25. He said, stop worrying. Don't go through the stop sign. But then he's going to tell you, because people will say, oh, well, that's really good, but you have, do you see my bills? Do you see what's going on in the economy? Do you see my job? Do you see this and that? Well, Jesus didn't leave us empty-handed. He gave us instruction. What was instruction? Behold and consider. Amen. What are you talking about, Pastor Mike? Verse 26. Well, first go to verse 25. Therefore I say to you, take no thought for your life. Stop being perpetually uneasy and anxious about your life. What you shall eat, what you shall drink, nor yet for your body. What you shall put on. Is not life more than meat and the body more than raiment? Okay, Jesus, you told us to not worry, but help us with it. I'm so glad he helps us with it. Yes. Behold the fowls of the air. You know what the word behold means? Check them out. Yeah. Look at the birds. How many people actually do this or just brush it off, just read it? No, no. Your master is saying to you, just like he said, now I want you to stop worrying. You don't take that lightly. I also want you to go look at the birds. Why would we not listen to him? Why would we not do what he says? He says, behold the birds, follow the air. They don't sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much better than they? Wow. Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit to a stature? Why you take thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field. What did Pastor Mike say Jesus told us to do? Behold and consider. Behold and consider. Behold what? The birds. You want to stop dealing with worry? You need to go look at the birds. Oh, what's that going to do? No. You need to keep looking at the birds. Because Jesus wouldn't tell you to do something that will waste your time. He wouldn't tell you to do something that wouldn't have power behind it. What's he telling you? Take up bird watching. And consider the lilies of the field. He said, go consider them. Consider how they grow. They don't work. They don't spin. Again, I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Praise God. Behold and consider. Of course, I've mentioned, you know, that Caleb shot his first turkey this year down in Pennsylvania and got all the meat off it that we could, you know, use. And he got the fan and the beard and the spurs off the legs, you know, and got everything we could. But then, and forgive me for those that have an uneasy tummy here, but we took the carcass, you know, we figured, well, we'll just get back to the earth, you know. We took it out back to the behind our house, and I put a steak in the carcass. But I don't mean a T-bone steak. I mean a orange steak to hold it in place, and I put a trail cam. Camera right on a tree facing the carcass because we wanted to see what animals would come in, and we got pictures of raccoons, and we got pictures of a possum there, possibly a fisher that was staying off in the distance. You could just see the eyes; they're more sneaky, you know. But the coolest thing that we got in those pictures was this hawk that kept coming back, and the pictures are just stunning and beautiful because the hawk's just doing the hawk things, but you don't ever get to see him up close and doing their thing. And we got pictures of him flying in and his wings spread and him sitting there eating it. And he dug into that carcass. But when I was meditating on this message, I went back and got a picture. Caleb, we put him on him and Abby's iPads, downloaded them. And I sent some pictures to my phone. Behold the birds. Behold the birds. I said, okay, Jesus, you told me to look at the birds. So I'm going to look at the birds. And so I just kept looking at that bird, just kept looking at that bird. And it's amazing, looking at the bird, all the little things the Holy Ghost was giving me. And the faith that was rising up in me. What do you mean, Pastor Mike? Well, remember what he said. Look at the birds of the air. They sow not, neither do they reap. I sow. I'm a sower. I'm a sower. And I'm a reaper. Nor gather into barns. What's that mean? They don't save. Oh, I try to put money away and save too. Those are things birds can't do, but I can. Yeah. And he says, they don't even do that, and your heavenly Father feeds them. What's he saying? Your heavenly Father provides for these birds that, number one, aren't children of God. Yeah. Jesus didn't die for. And these birds that can't do anything to help their situation. Yeah, and your Father takes care of them. And what did he say? Are you not much better than they? And I looked at this bird and I thought, God worked through a human to get the bird this meal. And this bird came back day after day after day. This bird did nothing but be directed through his eyes or smell to this carcass, a free smorgasbord to a hawk. A buffet laid out. That hawk is in his nest or her nest at nighttime, not having a clue the next day what's going to come for the next day. They don't know. They're just going to go be a hawk. And in the course of time and being a hawk, without having it stamped, you know, a guarantee, a certainty, just went out and the provision was there. And I thought about, wait a minute, I'm better than this. I'm better than a bird. God wants to provide for me, praise God. I sow, I reap, I can save, and I'm his child, and I have faith, praise God. If the birds don't worry, just go out and do it, and they're provided for, we're better than that. That will raise your faith, praise God. You say, it can't raise. Go watch the birds. You'll all of a sudden get a revelation of, why am I worrying? The birds get provided for every day. See, what happens with people is people don't like the faith process. What's the faith process? It's an unseen process. Our flesh is uncomfortable when we don't have a paycheck coming in the mail. Why? Because the paycheck is certainty to our mind. When there's no bank statement to look at and see a balance of whatever number in there appeases your mind and comforts your mind. When it's not in there, our flesh and mind doesn't like it. But seeing what's in your bank account and looking at your paycheck and reading the business reports and getting excited over that, I'm sorry to tell you, it's not faith. Faith is when the business reports, the bank account, the paycheck, there's no certainty. All you have, and when I say all, I don't mean that lightly, because it's all you need, is God.
Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Lord.
Praise God.
One thing he showed me, the birds have no guarantee. No guarantee. There's no, nobody had spoken to the bird's ear and say, okay, this is going to be here tomorrow, this is going to be that tomorrow. And God takes care of them. You're better than a bird. I dare you to go bird watching.
That's good. Yeah.
You know, I've done it before, but I think I took it more serious this time than I ever had before, and just kept watching the bird, and little things would come into my heart. Some things I'm not even sharing with you tonight, but other things, you know, things about provision and how I'm way better than this bird, and this bird has all its needs right here provided for it. Didn't think about it, didn't worry about it, didn't stress over it, and I'm better than that bird. I think we should go bird watching.
Yeah.
Behold, consider the lilies of the field. What's he say? Consider them, think about it. It says, they grow, they don't toil, nor do they spin. What's he saying? They can't even work.
Right.
We get to sow, we get to reap, we get to save, and we get to work.
Yeah.
And we get to have faith. And we're a child of God.
Yeah.
He said Solomon in all his glory wasn't even arrayed like one of these. He says, these things are going to be gone like nothing. You think God's not going to take care of you? Oh.
That's so good.
Ladies and gentlemen, you need to meditate on this over and over and over and over and over. What will it do? Build faith in you.
Yeah.
I remember a space and time when Dr. Dufresne was alive that it seemed like every sermon was Matthew 6:25, talking about the birds, talking about the birds, talking about the birds. Why? So many people, so many children of God are in fear and worry, don't know what to do, are in chaos, and it shouldn't be so. It's like if Abby were to stress to me, how are we going to do this? How are we going to kill Cosby? How are we going to do this? And I would just simply say, wait a minute, did you forget who I am? Did you forget what I've done for you? Do you forget how much I love you? Do you forget what I've shown you in the past? Do you forget how that one time you needed something I came through? You got to think about him and how you're approaching him. I encourage you. Matthew 6, 25 through 34. It's help from heaven for you to beginning to have your faith in what? The God of provision. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word tonight. We're so grateful. So thankful for the opportunity to have our faith built up. I think that we all should repent for... You might not have consciously thought of him as a deadbeat or someone that would be unfaithful in his job. But when you worry, you're basically saying, I don't trust you. It's the truth. I'm sorry to say it. It's the truth. Let's get that out of the way right now. And let's all individually repent for worry we're in now, worry we've been in the past. Father, I just ask you right now to forgive me for times when I've struggled in my mind to worry about things and to stress about things as if you're not on the scene, as if you don't care, as if you're going to just take the week off or take this trial off. No, Father, you're not a deadbeat father. You're not a slacker. You're not unfaithful. Father, you are the kindest, most merciful, most gentlest, most loving, most faithful, wonderful, providing Father there ever could be. So forgive me for that, Father. And Lord, I pray that you forgive everyone else too that's crying out to you. And I know that you will because you said so in your word. Forgive us for looking at you that way. Forgive us for meditating in the wrong direction. Thank you for our help tonight. Forgive us for just skimming over, look at the birds or consider the lilies of the field. No, we're going to take up bird watching, lily watching, praise God. Father, we thank you. Let's just praise him tonight. We thank you, Lord. We magnify you and glorify you. We worship you and magnify you. Lord, the simple demonstration of giving Jesus as your son is all I need to know about you being a providing God. In my darkest hour, in my greatest time of need, in mankind's darkest hour, in greatest time of need, you showed the world once and for all that you are willing to do whatever it takes to meet our needs. We were in need of spiritual salvation. We needed to be rescued, for we were in the throes, in the grips of the kingdom of darkness. But you gave us Jesus. You met that need with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And Father, you said in your word that if we would believe on Jesus in John 3:16, that we would not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus said in John 14:6, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. So if you're watching right now or in the future, and you don't know if you're going to heaven, you hope you are, you think you are, I know I'm going to heaven. I don't hope it. I don't just think it. I know it because I've done what God said to do. I've believed and received His Son Jesus. The greatest provision ever was given to me, and I received it, and He wants to give it to you as well. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're watching and you need to receive Jesus and you'd like to become a child of God and you'd like to go to heaven someday, that's what the Bible says is the way. It's not about church attendance. It's not about good or bad deeds. It's not about generosity or lack thereof. It's about Jesus. If you want to receive the Lord, there's only one thing for you to do, believe and receive. I'm going to lead you all in a prayer. And the context of this prayer is going to be you declaring your belief in Jesus and asking Him to come into your heart. You don't have to think up the words to say. You just have to mean what you say with all your heart. And you might not understand everything. You might think, well, Pastor Mike, I don't understand everything. You don't have to understand everything. I don't understand everything. There's not a human on planet Earth that understands everything about God. But in your heart of hearts, you know that Jesus is real and that He died and rose again for you. If you know that, you are qualified and you are a candidate for salvation. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, I want to ask everybody watching, including those that have already received Jesus and those that want to receive Jesus, to mean this with all your heart. Say this after me. Say, Lord Jesus,
Lord Jesus,
I believe you're real.
I believe you're real.
And I believe you died on the cross for my sins. And I believe you rose from the dead.
And I ask you
to come into my heart. Thank you for saving me.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. You can open your eyes. If you prayed that for the first time, congratulations. Your mind will tell you it can't be that easy. Religion will tell you it can't be that easy, but the Bible tells you it is. I'd love to help you with your decision and what you just did and going forward and bring some light, some clarity to some things. I encourage you to send me an email or to give me a phone call. That information's on the website. You know, God's given us heaven. Thank God for it. But I'm not there yet. I'm going to wake up tomorrow in a world that's run by the devil who's trying to oppose me. But God doesn't want me to wander and to be in the dark and to struggle. God wants to help me. And so we can help you with your next step. Yeah, you have heaven. Yeah, you're a child of God. That's great. But there's a next step. You're not going to lose your salvation if you don't take that next step. He meant it. You're going to heaven. But there's so much more that He's provided for you. So I encourage you to reach out. But I hope you're all blessed tonight. I hope you are all filled and know what to do going forward, have some homework, things to meditate on, things were put into your heart, encouragement and blessing. And let's just go ahead and let's stand up to our feet. And before we praise Him, before we go, I want to remind you, we'll be back here Sunday morning at 10. Come ready, come hungry, praise God. Gather around your phone, your iPad, your TV, whatever you're using to watch, and come hungry. God will bless you. Father, we worship You and praise You. We thank You for Your goodness. We thank You for Your mercy. Father, You are the God of provision. You are my Father of provision. You are a good dad. We worship You. We praise You in Jesus' name. Everyone said, love you, appreciate you. You're dismissed. We'll see you Sunday.
Something.